Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the teaching of the word today. Lord, we know that your word is quick and powerful. And so, Lord, let the word penetrate our hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have studied the Beatitudes that Jesus taught in Matthew 5, and we're going to continue on with studying the Sermon on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are principles on how to live our everyday life. And then Jesus proceeds on to describe the influence of the kingdom of God upon the world. He does this by using two metaphors. And what he's describing is those who live their life by the Beatitudes. And he said they are salt and they are light. So the theme of this great sermon was how people of the kingdom of heaven are to live here in this earth to influence the world. Jesus wanted his disciples, and he wants us, the followers of Christ, to affect the world in a positive way. And we do that by the way that we live. What kind of light are you? How much are you lighting up the world, the area that you are in? So he says we're salt and we're light. And we're going to take a look at the scripture in Matthew 5:13. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown and trampled underfoot by men. We have some points in your bulletin. The first one, symbolically, salt implies purity, loyalty, and either desolation or fruitfulness. Jesus uses the word you. He means you, my followers. So tell your neighbor, Jesus is talking to me. Jesus is talking to you. Jesus was saying that if we want to make a difference in the world, we must be different from the world. We must be different than the world. We're called out of darkness. You see, the world is in darkness. And Jesus has called us out of that darkness into his marvelous light. We've come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. And we're citizens of heaven. And we're different. We should be different from the world. Write down this verse, 1 John 2:14. 1 John 2:14 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Then he says, if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, we are different from the world because the love of the Father is on the inside of us. We're going to respond and react to situations in a different way than what the world is. You cannot expect unsaved people to act saved. Sometimes we expect heathens to act like they're saved. Well, they're not. They're not. So they're just going to act the way they act because they are lost in darkness. And what they're doing, they think is absolutely normal. You see, that's why God calls us to be salt and light in the world, because we come into a situation, into a work environment, into a family, and we bring something different. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. So if we're too much like the world, we're useless. We lose our saltiness. Ask your neighbor, how salty are you? He's pretty salty. I live with him. God will hold us accountable to maintain our saltiness. I'm responsible for my saltiness. We come to church, we receive, we learn, we grow together. We worship God together, we grow together, we serve together. We impact our world together. But each one of us individually are responsible for our saltiness. Our flavor. How flavorful are you? Salt has the ability to flavor foods. We've all been at the table and said, where's the salt? Right? Or this dish needs some salt. I've sat at the table with people that just grab the salt shaker and don't even taste the food. I know some of you are guilty of that. But you know, pure salt never loses its flavor. It never loses its flavor. But when it's mixed with impurities, it can lose the ability to enhance flavor. So we can lose our ability to be a flavoring agent in the world if we allow impurities into our lives. A few years ago, God spoke to me and said, I hate the mix. And as I was studying this again, it's like I heard the Lord say, I hate the mix. He doesn't want his salt mixed up with the world. He wants us to be different. Tell your neighbor he wants you salty. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this. It's not in the PowerPoint, but if you write it down, it says this: do not be deceived. Don't you get upset when someone deceives you? Do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil company corrupts good habits. You cannot hang out with evil company and think that it is not going to affect you. Because evil company will corrupt your good habits. Have you ever heard the phrase, monkey see, monkey do?
Yes.
If you're around people long enough, you're going to be talking like them, acting like them, doing the same things that they do. Neuroscience has found what they call mirror neurons. And whether you are doing the act, say picking up a cup of coffee and drinking it or not, the same neuron will fire in your brain when you watch someone else do it. It's kind of like the monkey see, monkey do. So if you're around people all the time that have worldly habits, you will pick them up. You really have to guard yourself when you're out in the workplace. Not to the point that you're not social, you're not friendly. I'm not saying that, because we are the light of the world and we have salt. And we, you know what? We have living water on the inside of us that is supposed to be pouring out of us. And if we're not willing to get mixed up in some messes, then how are the people going to get washed? It takes some living water to get rid of what's going on. So I'm not saying isolate and guard yourself, protect yourself. Oh my, evil might jump off on you. Because we're greater than that. But reality is we have mirror neurons. Have you ever been in a room and someone yawns? And everybody starts to yawn. Are you with someone and they smile, you smile. Is that true? Yeah. You see a commercial on TV and they're eating something and right away you want it. It fires stuff in our brain. So that's why we have to wear that helmet of salvation, guard our heart and mind, and be careful what we watch. But we do want to eat with those that are not saved. We have a passion for the lost. We want to reach out and make a difference and be that salt and light. Let me share with you Titus 2, 11 through 13. It is on the PowerPoint. So I'm going to have you read it while I get a drink of water. For the grace... Amen. Eager to do what is good. God has redeemed us and purified us. Our lives, whether we are aware or not, either count for God or against Him. There simply is no middle ground. It's our choice. Get up in the morning and pray and ask the Lord to help you make your life count today. We have no promise of tomorrow. All we have is the day that we have. All we have right now is Sunday. That's it. No promise of tomorrow. So today, we should make it count. In what we say and what we do, how we treat our family, how we respond to one another. Sunday is an awesome family day. A time you can reach out and bless. Of course, Saturdays are too, aren't they? This is just a great time of year. We love nice weather in Indiana. We don't see it. After this long winter, we're always so glad to see summer come. And yesterday, Pastor Vanessa and Javen came over and picked green beans in the morning. And then she left, and pretty soon here comes Teresa and Kylie and Karsten, because Katie was at camp, and they picked green beans. And we just had a great time out in the garden picking vegetables. And you know, Leonard, he's so inventive. He made this box, and it's got a screen in it, so we can pick our beans, and we can just put them on the screen, and he hoses them all off and washes them and cleans them, and the girls get to take them home, minus all of the dirt and bugs, you know, that collect on them in the garden. But it's how we treat one another. Loving God and loving others. And sometimes we'll put our family off till last, and that's not how God ever intended it. Hello? We'll be taking care of everybody else. I can't tell you how many pastors' kids who are adults now come in to talk to me that feel like they were so left out because their parents were always taking care of somebody else and did not meet their needs. I do not want that to be said of our River of Life family. We are all called to the work of the ministry, but our first ministry is our family. Amen. It's our family. The Lord spoke that to me. Leonard's been in ministry for as long as I can remember, and the Lord shared with me. He said, your place is to minister to the children. That is your field for this time. And so I didn't really want to do anything else other than I taught in Sunday school and sang a lot. But other than that, I wasn't out and about like Pastor Leonard, because my place was to train the children. I knew that. And he shared with me when Vanessa was turned 16, we'd be planning a church. Well, Leonard would say, oh no, we're not planting a church. We're not doing that. And I'm like, well, you know, you're going to have to argue with God, because this is what God has said. And so God kept putting it in his heart to buy the Cinema One Theater downtown. He couldn't get it out of his mind. He drove that way to work and he would see that building and the Lord would say, buy it. And he actually put it off for 5 years. 5 years, he kept saying, nope, nope, nope. And pretty soon the voice got so loud. I'm glad God didn't give up on us. And then we had a prophet come through, a prophet from Christian International, and they shared, you know, I hear the Lord say that he asked several people before he asked you to buy this place and start this work, and they all said no. And then I'm like, so we weren't even God's first choice, you know? So you got to deal with that too. But I thank God that he's made us salty. Yes. Have you ever noticed that if you put salt in a wound, it really burns? Yes. And so we want to use our saltiness with wisdom, right? Because people have wounds. Have you ever salted someone who was wounded and you didn't even realize you were salting them? And then they're so mad at you and you don't even know why. Has that ever happened to anyone? Yeah, yeah. So we want to use the salt wisely, right? Even when we sit down at the table and we start to salt our food, we got to do it wisely. So salt was really necessary in ancient times because it preserved food. They actually used it to pay Roman soldiers. That was their salary. Have you ever heard the term, he's worth his salt? Are some of you too young to have heard that term? Who's heard that term? He's worth his salt. Because there was a high value placed upon salt. And God places a high value upon you and I. And God even used salt as a covenant. Let's go to the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 13:5 says, don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, has given the kingship of Israel to David and his descendants forever by a covenant of salt? A salt covenant was a binding relationship. And the gift of salt was given at a meal. And it indicated a formal commitment to lifelong loyalty. Committed. When Jesus said, you are the salt, he was saying to you, you are in covenant with me and I will be loyal to you forever. We have a salt covenant with our God. Numbers 18:19 says, whatever is set aside from the holy offerings the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and your sons and daughters as your regular share. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord for both you and your offspring. So you know they even salted the sacrifices. I think God likes salt. In the Greek, it is literally you and you alone are the salt of the earth. We are what preserves the earth. We are what is preserving it right now. Once the church is taken out of here, watch out. Let's read from the Life Application and then we're going to go on to the Light of the World. How can we be salt when we are working? And I thought this was interesting. It's a way to apply it. Most jobs, even the humdrum kind, provide opportunities for saltiness. And this is ways to be salty. We can solve problems. We can keep equipment working and serve human needs. Christians ought to be proud of their work. Next time you think you are going nowhere in a boring job, consider your work as a thank you to God for the salvation Christ gave you. Do your job with skill and commitment as a missionary in the marketplace, salting your small corner of the world with God's message of renewal and joy. That's how we can apply it to our own lives. Let's go on to "You are the light of the world." And let's read. Is it in the PowerPoint? Oh, good. Okay. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we know that a light can be seen. And in Bible times, there was usually only one window in a house. Can you imagine? Just one window. And so if the lamp went out, they had a difficult time seeing and a really difficult time getting it relit because they didn't have matches like we have today. But the light was set on a lampstand, so it benefited everybody. Christianity is to be seen in you, and it's to be visible to everyone because it benefits everyone around you. So tell your neighbor, "I'm a benefit because I have the light in me." So don't let yourself think that you're not valuable where you're at. You're a benefit, according to God, because you have a light that is shining that is going to help other people. So Jesus said in John 8:12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" The light of life is living on the inside of us when we follow Jesus. We don't walk in darkness. We don't stumble around. God gives us light. He illuminates our path. He helps us make the decisions that we need to make. He gives us those aha moments. You ever have an aha? Oh, yeah. Okay. And sometimes you just got to write those down or you're going to forget them. And sometimes they come at the worst time. You're driving down the road and all of a sudden, has that ever happened to you? Yeah, Dr. Summerall always said, pull over and write it down. Otherwise, you'll forget it. But he gives us the light of life. And Jesus commands us to shine. Going back to our original verse in 5:16, he said, "In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." We're to let it shine. We're to let it beam. We're to let it radiate from us. And we're to shine right where we are. When Teresa was little, she sometimes would get the words mixed up to songs. And she used to sing, we used to sing a chorus, "You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine." Did anyone ever sing, "You can't be a beacon if your light don't shine"? Well, we were on our way to church one day and Teresa was sitting in the back seat and she starts singing, "You can't be a deacon if your light don't shine." I said, "Well, that's true too. That could be verse 2, you know." Jesus says that we are the light of the world. All of us are the light. And Jesus is breaking through us. You see, we have all this when we're born again by the Spirit of God and we receive salvation. It's all on the inside of us. I had a professor that asked the class one day, "What wattage is your bulb? Are you a 20 watt, a 40, a 60, and 80, 100? How bright are you? Hallelujah. All right. I'm not sure if this is on the PowerPoint or not, but it's 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7. It says this, "For we do not preach ourselves." Remember, we're to let our light shine so that God gets glorified, right? So tell your neighbor, this isn't about me. 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7 says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." God doesn't want us to turn on a dimmer switch. Oh, in this situation, I'll just turn down the light and use the dimmer switch. He wants us to shine brightly. So that he's shining in our hearts. How we live is going to show how much light we have and how much we allow the Lord to heal us and clear us of all of the clutter that's in our lives. Do you know that keeps your light from shining? God wants to heal hearts, restore souls, so that his light can shine. Because he wants people to see your good deeds and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." You're created to do good works. We all are. Created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Think about that. The good works we are called to do, God already prepared for us to do. We just need to get in tune with the Father. Tell your neighbor, Father knows best. Jesus says we're to shine before others so that they see good works and glorify God. Because people who knew you before know that you didn't have that in you to do that, right? They're amazed. Wow, God's really changed them. That's for the glory of God. Your testimony should always point beyond you, because we are here to make Jesus famous in the earth. Amen? Amen. We want his name to be high and lifted up, not ours. We want to share his testimony. I'm going to close in reading Philippians 2:12-13. It says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So God saves you, but there is a working that goes on the inside of you. Most of it's in your head. Tell your neighbor, it's all in your head. It's all in your head. You got to work that out. You got to get rid of that negative thinking, those ungodly beliefs, the things that we heard from a child on. They're in our subconscious and they're going. God knows we got to work that out. We work out what God works in. And we do that with fear and trembling, because we could never change ourselves. You can set your mind to it. I'm not going to do this. Yes, amen. We've got people who've tried it, and you try it again. And for some reason, we forget, and we try it again. We make a shortcut. We think. And go back all the way around the mountain again. Hallelujah. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. God is working a good purpose in you because you are the salt and you are the light of the world. If you're struggling with your identity this morning, God is identifying you. You are salt and you are light, and He has called you according to His good purpose. And you know what? When you come into agreement with the will of God and you do God's will, you will be successful. Hallelujah. God is the one who gives us promotion. God is the one who gives us success. Hallelujah. He's a mighty God. He's our loving Heavenly Father. He loves us more than we can imagine. More than we can imagine. God loves us. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for the word of the Lord that's gone forward this morning. Thank You, God, that You're working in our hearts and our lives. Lord, that we will be salt and light in every circumstance. Lord, help us to grow and to mature, to be 100-watt light bulbs. And they probably have them brighter than that. But Lord, we want Your light to shine. We want to reach out to people, and especially our own families, our husbands and wives and wife. And children. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, that we reach out and are salt and light, first of all, to our family. And then where we are placed in the marketplace. And as a church, we reach out as salt and light into our community. And God bless us as we do this action packs for the persecuted Christians. Yes. That we can also be salt and light out into the world. Yes. That our action packs, Lord, will open up an opportunity for someone to receive You that does not know You. We thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. Stir deep in us this morning. Stir deep in our hearts today. Remove that clutter that's keeping our lights from shining. And you all know what that is. We cannot hide from God, no matter what we do. So, Lord, work on us as we work out our own salvation. And Lord, I pray that we're the saltiest group. That You enjoy the salt that we produce and the light that shines from this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.